Welcome to the You Can Man podcast, episode 70. I'm Josh.
I'm Tim.
And I'm Dave.
And on this week's episode, pairs, weights, and boats.
All right, guys, welcome back to the You Can Man podcast, where we believe what one man can do, you can do as well. With a little help from your friends and the proper know-how, we got a mashup for this week's episode. Pairs, boats. Gosh, I forgot, guys. What's the other one?
Pairs, weights, and boats.
Pairs, weights, and boats. That's because the weights part was Dave's.
All right. I'm going to need you to step back or we're going to have a problem.
So anyways, yeah, this could be a little bit of a mashup this week. Yeah, some weeks we just decide, you know, we got a lot of just different random kind of stuff going on. Thoughts going through our heads. And so we just thought, you know what? We're going to throw this one out there. And of course, we're going to talk about the new Bronco. Don't you guys worry.
That is top of mind.
Top of mind. But listen, we want to make this a good show. We're going to do a dedicated new Bronco show. We're going to have John from Nashville Early Bronco on the show. Hopefully next week. Next week's show or the week after that.
Back by popular demand. He's probably our most downloaded show.
Yes, he is.
When he was on the first time.
Yeah, so we're really looking forward to having him on and talking all things new Bronco. But guys, I just want to kind of gauge, what is your initial reaction of the new Bronco? We're not going to go into detail because we want to save that for the full show. But what are your initial reactions?
I tried to buy it. I literally tried to buy it the night it came out. You can't buy it yet.
You reserve
one. But I tried to reserve one, and thankfully, the Ford website crashed. It didn't crash, but you basically couldn't use it.
Thankfully, for your bank account?
Yeah, thankfully for my wallet. So for like an hour, I was like, I'm trying to reserve it. And it was, I don't know if it was a knee-jerk reaction, but I love it. I really do. I think it looks great.
Two-door or four-door?
So I was firmly 100% in the two-door camp before it came out. And as I was when I was like looking at it, I was like, I'm going to buy this thing. I moved over to the four-door. I think so the four-door needs some stuff done to it, in my opinion, to make it look good. But yeah, I think I'd go four-door. Not the Bronco Sport. I'm just going to call it a Ford Escape.
Yeah.
Okay, Josh, what about you?
Yeah, Josh, what do you think?
Well, so, I mean, when we talked earlier, I kind of had low expectations. I think Dave had even lower expectations.
I thought they were going to completely mess it up.
Of the Ford Motor Company, but man, they did their homework. Someone else asked me about it. I told them they hit a home run in my book. The Heritage, the number of options, just the trim levels or, you know, the different... Right. The Badlands, the Black
Diamond.
It's
hard to make sense of it.
Wild Track. Yeah, I started spreadsheeting it to see, you know, where are we. I found a PDF. If you clicked on the right thing, you can get a PDF of all the models next to each other to kind of see what has what options. I think they did a great job. If I was a single gentleman, I would get a two-door.
Yeah, two-door. Agreed.
But if I want one of these, if they're in my future, it's going to be a four-door. And man, I just think they look awesome.
They look great. You know what I loved about the release is they never showed a single one in the videos ever on road. It was off road 100% of the time. And so I really think they took that to heart and they knew how much, I mean, there are people are rabid about Broncos, right? And so I think they took that to heart and they knew who their core demographic was and they, you know, they're catering to them. Catering to us.
I absolutely loved it. And I loved the little Bronco. I really did.
The grocery getter one?
Yes.
Tim, it's because you got low T, man. You got T's dropping. And you're like, I want a Ford Escape.
Look, that Bronco Sport, I liked it. I really did. I was like, I was fully anticipating that being the throwaway one and be like, what?
I thought that was going to be that's what I envisioned the Bronco was going to be.
Those were some of the leaks, the early leaks were of that.
It was the first model. One of the first ones that came out.
And we were like, whoa,
yeah.
Whoops.
Yep.
But man, compare, I mean, even the Bronco Sport, which, you know, it ain't the Bronco, but the Bronco Sport is head and shoulders above that new Chevy Blazer that came out.
Oh, gosh. That's not a truck. That's not an SUV. It's just a car.
Yeah.
I,
I'm such a big fan of the Ford Explorer, what it used to be. Mm-hmm. And so the Bronco Sport kind of is reminiscent to me of what the Explorer used to be.
To be fair, I haven't really looked at it a lot. I've only seen it in the lineup next to the two normal Broncos, and so I've kind of just dismissed it. I'll look into it a little.
Oh, yeah. You don't need to.
Give it
well, ahead of our dedicated Bronco show, we're all going to do our research and look into that. We were hoping that Ford would put on like one of those build sheet, basically, like or the calculators where you can build.
I've heard rumors that could be out next week sometime, so okay. We'll just have
that would
to
be
hit.
Great, because then I would love us all to build our own and then talk about that on air. But anything else going on, guys, besides the topic that we're about to get in? Topics we're about to get into. No, nothing else.
Broncos
nothing else?
Front of mind for me.
I mean, the kids today, man, our local school system announced that, actually, just kidding. We were going to let you decide to send your kids to school or keep them home for digital learning. But, just kidding. Everybody's going to do digital learning. So we've had a really just mentally heavy day.
Our house got turned upside down.
Yeah.
At about 10:30 a.m.
Yeah, Josh and I, we both have kids. Our oldest sons are starting kindergarten.
Tim's got a
kindergartner. Yeah, mine too. And Tim's got a kindergartner. Yeah. Starting kindergarten. So it's, we got to make that decision. And so today, the news came down and it's like, shoot, what are we going to do for the next, minimum 3 months, right? The first semester, I guess, but potentially the whole year.
Yeah. And we're not going to go down this rabbit hole. But for these kids, specifically the kindergartners, I'm just of the strong opinion, and so is the American Pediatric Association, a bunch of doctors that say, we need to get kids back in school, especially the younger ones that need to be socialized.
They're cattle.
Like,
this is when
they like learn how to interact with people, like these formative
I've
years.
I've got zero to back this up, what I'm about to say.
Okay. Come on, science.
So
let us have it.
I was wondering the psychological potential damage that could be had on children when everyone around them is wearing a mask.
Something is happening.
Yeah, meaning you can't fully see facial expressions when these children are developing their emotional healthiness, I guess you could say.
I'll drop some science into this. It's a fact that I'm going to say over 80%. I think it's actually over 90%.
Is this your PhD speaking
now?
Okay.
This is, I went to college for 9 years.
Right.
If you heard my episode, 2 episodes ago. But no, 80+% of all communication is nonverbal. Like facial expressions, body language. And when you put masks on,
your eyes tell the story.
That's absolutely right. Josh took the words out of my mouth.
Well, we did a test. I think my wife put on her mask and she was asking her girls, like, am I smiling or not? And they passed because they can tell what her eyes look like.
Right.
Anyways, just a thought. I don't know.
It's not ideal.
Yeah,
there's
certainly some repercussions that could come down because of that.
Okay, let's get into our three quicker topics today. So the first one, pears.
This has got to be your topic.
Of course.
The pear tree.
Of course. So if you're on our Facebook group, which we mention every single episode, if you're not on the Facebook group, please get on the Facebook group and check it out. Even if you don't want to use Facebook for anything else besides just the You Can Man Facebook group.
That'd be me.
It's a safe space.
It's worth it. So you should do it. But I've been posting some photos of picking pears in my yard. So when we moved in, I've got a 1964 ranch, and obviously previous owners had planted pear trees. I have no idea how old these things are, but they've got to be old. They're massive. The bigger one is probably, I'm going to say it's 30 feet tall all the way up.
Oh, yeah, I'd say.
Yeah. And the other one's probably maybe just as tall, maybe 25 feet tall. One of them's actually off of our property line, but I just kind of counted it ours because it's like an empty lot.
It's no one else's.
Anyways, it's two different pears. The one that's been producing, I feel like this tree's just going to give up the ghost because I've never seen this much fruit on any tree in my entire life.
Wow.
If that puts it into perspective.
2020 was the year for this tree.
I guess so.
I'm not familiar with fruit trees, but I trust you.
Neither am I really, but I'm just saying in my experience with
impressed.
You know, like even when you go, let's say you go apple picking or whatever, there's usually, you know, they groom these trees, they prune them, they, you know, they're meant for production. I don't know that I've seen, even looking at those trees, you know, this pear tree.
Can
that
you
I've
eat
got,
these pears?
I'm getting to that, Dave.
Okay, I'm all interested.
Right. So for years, and I feel like I have talked about this on a previous podcast, for years I thought that they were inedible because it would produce fruit. And I was like, man, those are pretty big. They're probably good. They're probably ripe now. Let me pick
hard
one.
Hard as a rock.
And let me, yeah, hard as a rock and horrible. Yeah. They tasted horrible. So I was like, yard pears. Like, I just thought, I was just so dumb. Like,
it's a weed pear.
What an anti- You can man spirit that I had, because I just completely dismissed it like an idiot.
Gave up on it.
I just gave up. Didn't do my research at all. We have this thing called Google. So, I mean, I could have actually looked it up. Right. And I just didn't. For years, I thought these things are horrible. They're just not good pears. Well, come to find out, pears do not ripen on the tree. Unless it's an Asiatic pear.
They got a set, right?
They got a set. Now, you got to pick these things before they get ripe, because they will get ripe on the tree. However, they will ripen from the inside out.
Ooh.
And so the inside will just be mush. It's basically, it's starting to rot while it's on the tree. So I've researched, you know, kind of when to pick these things. You kind of do like a quarter turn up, like horizontally. Does this make sense? When you grab the pear and then
rotate it.
You rotate it up, okay. And if it comes off and it breaks the stem easy, it's ready to rock and roll.
That sounds like my yearly physical.
I like that. So I keep going.
Okay. So anyway, so I've been doing that, and I've already picked some prior to today, but I guess it was yesterday and today. I've picked 2 5-gallon buckets worth of pears, and I'm almost positive that I could probably fill at least 3 more. Does this give you an idea of how many pears this is?
Seems like a good yield.
It is. Okay, so I've got I hope a lot of people are not completely bored at this, because
I bet there's a lot of people with pears that have tasted them and they've given up.
Well,
on
I had
maybe
a, when I was a kid, I think it was either a pear tree or a crab apple tree, and we used to have like fights with them because these things were hard as a rock. It must have been, but they were the same way, where you take them off the tree and you bite into it. They were super hard and really sour, right? So maybe it's the same thing. You had to let them, you know, you had to take them off, pick them. Let them sit there for a while.
Right. Now, I've read before, and this is more of a commercial growing thing, where commercial pear farmers will put them into a cold storage for a little while, 4 to 5 days, apparently, maybe longer. Their main concern there is getting the pears a longer distance between picking them and then to the store. Gotcha. So it kind of buys them a little bit more time. However, I'm reading that it does something to the quality of the taste. Mm. And so I've been doing some experimentation with putting some in the fridge for 4 days and then letting them sit out. But the way that you know if the pear is ready is you just kind of press right up next to the stem. And if it gives a good bit, then it's probably ready to go ahead and be cut. So I've got 2 different kinds. One, I think, is an Anjou pear. I think that's how you pronounce it. And another one is some sort of European variety. But yeah, they're good. They're totally good. You just let them sit for like a week and a half before you can.
Have you done that yet on these?
Oh, yeah.
Does it taste like a pear?
Yeah, of course it is.
Dude.
Yeah, it's good. It's totally good. I'll give you guys some. I should have had some for us to try.
Yeah, I could have sampled
but
some.
But I just finished the last batch, so I'd cut them up and we ate them already. So I don't have any that are actually ripe now. So maybe next week.
They're going through the seasoning process.
I'll let you guys try it. So you do have to, like, if you slice pears, just like apples, you can put some lemon juice on them and it will
keep it from browning.
Yeah, keep it for browning. So I've done that. And they taste great. So I've given away almost 2 5-gallon bucket worth today, and because we literally can't. I can't eat
can't
them
eat
all.
Can't eat pears that fast.
Yeah. So
that's good.
And then the ones that I need to pick are like way up in the tree. So that's Josh. I came over and borrowed your pole saw because the tree needs to be pruned anyways. I don't know. It's probably the wrong time of year to prune it, but literally, in order for me to get the pairs that are that high up, I might have to saw off some of the, yeah. All right. Anyways, check out our Facebook group, because I've posted pictures of the ridiculous amount of pears that I've got on this tree. And I would like to do a future show on fruit trees, because I kind of want to get more into that. So
do it. Let's do it.
If that's not too nerdy.
I'm super excited about
that. Do cherry trees grow down here? Do cherries grow down here? Do you know?
Yeah, of course. I'm sure they do. There's, you know,
I've been into cherries lately. I don't know what, like Publix had
been
them.
Been into cherries.
Yeah. Okay. Publix had them by the door, and like I grabbed one
in the bag, like produce cherries kind of thing.
And man, they were good. Shared them with the boys. And then I went again like 2 days ago. Same thing. Grabbed it.
What I'd really like to do a show on is you've heard the term a food forest. Have you guys heard this?
Never. No.
Really?
Yeah.
How have you never heard this?
Never heard of it.
So basically the idea is creating your own forest that you can eat pretty much everything in it. So, you know, you got blueberries, you got, you know, all kinds of different fruit trees, and it's stuff that, you know, it's continually growing, and, you know, there's different seasons that yield different things.
Nice.
And it's your own food forest. So I would kind of, my yard is kind of like that. I mean, I've got blueberries, I've got blackberries, I've got black walnuts, I've got pears.
Did you plant these, or these were the no, former man, tenants?
No, this is Valley Brook Farm.
This is how you guys
here,
roll.
Okay.
Valley Brook Farm.
Yeah, Valley Brook is the name of our neighborhood. You know, it's actually funny that it's called Valley Brook. You know, neighborhood names just makes no sense.
Right.
But ours actually does, because it's a valley and we got a little brook running through.
That's right.
There you go.
Anyways, okay, moving on.
Are you sure?
Natural progression to the next show topic.
Segue.
Of weights. So Dave talked about on my last segment, I talked about old things. And I talked about how I had an old pair of shorts that I've had for 20 years. And Dave's thing was that he had a set of weights that he's had since he was like 17.
13.
Now, is this the set of weights we're talking about or not?
So, yeah, these are the weights. It's the same set of weights that I'm talking about. And I want to talk about them because I just got to get this off my chest, so to speak, because these things are driving me crazy, right? Because they're really old, obviously, really old. I don't know how old they are. How old am I?
What are they made of?
They're in 25-year range.
Yeah, 25-ish years old now. I bought them used, so they're older than that. I don't know how old they are, but I've had them for 25 years or so, and they've been used to get my 13-year-old body into just peak form, right? So back in the day, right when I got...
To bump you up to 78 pounds.
Yeah, so I was like, I was around 100 pounds, and I was, you know, topping out the bench press at like 135. So, you know, I was really getting after it back then. But they've also, throughout the years, been used... my dad used like the 25-pound plate to hold down his... he used to do these shows, these art shows, where he would show... He was a painter, he was an artist, and worked in graphic design during his career.
So the art festivals downtown?
The art festivals downtown. So he would have a tent, and he would use the weights to like keep the tent anchored, right? And so one of the plates, with the 25-pound plate, is just completely rusted. So these weights are made out of iron, I think. I think it's iron. Anyway,
pumping iron for a reason.
They rusted through. Anyway, so I'm like, I wanted to buy some new weights, but they're so expensive. Also, with the pandemic, everybody's working out at home. And so you can't buy weights. You can't buy exercise equipment. It's all
out
of stock.
Sold out.
Yeah, you can't get any of that stuff. And weights are expensive. I was like, I don't need to buy weights. I have perfectly good weight set. It just looks terrible. So I decided to paint them. I did some research. I followed almost none of the research. I was like, I'm just going to get this done. And
because you did, you looked at the research. I know what you did. You looked at the research and you're like, that's way too much work.
It's a ton of work. It's a ton of work. I was like, and I can't have my weights out of commission for that long because I'm obviously on a program. So anyway, I set out painting these weights and I did a little bit of cleaning work, not a lot. And anyway, so I got to work spray painting. So the first thing that I did was I got this rust converter. Have you guys ever heard of rust converter?
Oh, yeah.
I'd never used it before. But I sprayed it on the plates, and basically it was just like spray paint, but it converts the rust into something that I don't know what it is, but it gets rid of the rust, and it basically paints the weights black. So painted all the weights black, converted all the rust, then got a primer, put the primer on several coats. I'm going to say four coats on each plate. Then I set to work painting the actual plates a bunch of different colors. Color coded them so that I can like pick them out and get
there
them
you go.
So I can see which one's which really easily and grab them. And as I've been doing this, I've probably got five coats of paint on each plate. And what really set me back was setting these plates down on some sawhorses when I'm painting them. I'll flip them over and I'll paint the other side. They're so flipping heavy that I'll pick them up and it rips all the flipping paint off of like the side that I've been painting for literally a week. It's driving me.
Somebody listening to this is like rookie.
You're only as good as your base coat.
Well, so my cardinal sin was not using
wire brush.
So cleaning was not done properly, but really I should have used an oil-based paint. I've been using.
You should have sandblasted them.
Yeah, I see. The thing is the base coat was good. Like that stuff is not coming off that rust converter. Okay. It is. I mean, those plates are black.
You should have just clear coated it and called it a day then.
So I probably should have. Well, that's what I'm going to do final. Like the last thing is I'm going to clear coat it, but I can't get to the point where.
Got to find a way to hang them.
Yeah, I can't. You can't hang 45 pound plates. Like it's. You could, but.
Got to find a way.
So that's where I'm at right now. I got a bunch of plates. They just look terrible. Yeah, they look terrible.
If you had serious game, you would have a sandblaster and you would powder coat those.
Yeah, I would love to do that.
That'd be cool.
It's not happening.
All right, Facebook group. We want to hear from you guys if you guys have started a home gym. Because I know one guy showed us a video of him doing a PR of a squat and it looked like he was at a home gym.
Yep.
So
we got a couple lifters, I can tell.
There's got to be so many people that are doing the home gym thing. So
or just refinishing like rusty stuff.
Yep.
Like, let us know.
Yes.
Let Dave know.
Let me know, please. I'm losing so much sleep over it.
All right. Segue, my turn. Hey, that kind of worked out. Three topics, three guys. My topic is kind of like on boats. We're not going to do any like major education. It's kind of a question.
Should you own a boat?
Well, the last 2 weeks. Well, let me say this. I grew up, our family had a boat. My grandmother, my grandparents had a boat that used to be their parents' boat. So my mom grew up on this boat. I think I've kind of told the story. It's been handed down. 10 years ago, the boat was sold for scrap, basically. Kind of depressing for the family. My cousin miraculously found it. It showed up on Craigslist, like this 1963 Glastron boat. He found the boat on Craigslist for sale. It was rotting in someone's like storage yard and they bought it. My parents helped finance the renovation of it. Anyway, it's back up and running, runs like a champ, ran all weekend this past weekend. My father-in-law owns a pontoon boat. So I have access to a couple boats and, you know, in my dreams, I'm always like, man, it would be awesome to own a boat. One of our buddies he says he just purchased a boat, sent us some pictures of it. Looks crazy.
It looks legit.
So, you know, a little jealous of that. So, but I'm like, when we start to really think through like boat ownership, and you've always heard owning a boat is just throwing money into a hole in the water.
The best day of your life and the worst day of your life. Buy it and you sell it.
Yeah. The best day is when you buy a boat something like that.
We just butchered it, but whatever.
Yeah.
You get the point.
So anyway, have you guys ever thought of boat ownership?
Yes.
Is it a good idea? Would it be great? Would it be terrible?
I would like to have just a little boat.
Like a little John boat.
Little John boat.
With a trolling
motor. That's not boat ownership.
Okay. Yeah,
because that thing sits under your deck and you don't have to do anything to it.
That's all I would do.
Yeah. That's not boat ownership.
So that's like, as far as you
If you have to store a boat.
An engine.
Have a boat in your driveway that people get mad about, that's boat ownership.
Right.
Right. And I've thought about that because I think the average man can do it, but it's got to be a used pontoon boat. And that's the best
thing
you
can
do.
Depends on what you want to do, though. Because, I mean, my family's boat is a ski boat. Like, we ski behind it and tube behind it. The pontoon boat is just for large groups cruising. Like, that's what it's
See, that's
for.
What I'd be interested in.
It's
just
beautiful.
Just putzing around the lake.
Yeah, it's a fun day, just a relaxing day. The other boat is for, like, you know, adventure. And anyway, yeah, I always think I have this, you know, romantic idea of it, but I think those sayings are correct is just, man, unless you've got just the disposable income to throw at this machine to store and to upkeep, it just seems
you do not need a boat because you have so many people in your life that you can be a squatter and be like, hey, can I borrow your boat? And you know, every weekend. And so it's not an issue. I would love to own a boat, but yeah, it's the maintenance and it's the storage that really, I think would really, be the bummer.
One big turnoff too, if you don't have like friends with boats or relatives with boats, is boat rental is outrageous.
Yeah,
like very expensive. Ever, at least around here, like if you go to any of the local lakes, I don't know what the day rates are, but I think it's like $500 like for a day on the lake with a pontoon boat. Like that's where you start. That just seems outrageous. So if someone wants to get into a boat for like $7,000, like maybe that's worth it. If you go like 4 or 5 times a summer, like to rent a boat. Anyway, it's always something that's been on my mind. I always, you know, browse the boat gallery on Facebook Marketplace. But
final thing I'll say about it, my brother-in-law, his dad, when my brother-in-law was growing up, his dad always owned a boat. I guess he loved boats, and so they had a boat for a long time. I'll say that. I don't know if they always had boats, but while he was in college, his dad owned a houseboat and used to just straight up give him the keys and be like, have fun, son. And he and all his buddies would go out on Lake Lanier.
Sounds like debauchery.
In college on this houseboat, like all weekend, and just party like crazy. I cannot imagine being a dad and saying, here you go, son, take the keys to my houseboat and just have fun. Like, yeah. That sounds crazy to me.
It's a different,
can't imagine.
Different life.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know, we need these shows like this every once in a while, just kind of random topics. But I am really looking forward to the dedicated Bronco show we've got coming up.
Yes.
So stay tuned for that, guys. All right, we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, Dave has a segment for us.
This episode is sponsored by 1776 United. 1776 United is a patriotic and historically inspired lifestyle brand. They make the best patriotic shirts and apparel on the market today. I personally own many of their products, and if you want to don patriotic gear without looking gaudy, check them out on Instagram, Facebook, and at 1776united.com.
All right, guys, welcome back. Dave's got the segment for us this week. Dave, what you got?
All right, guys. So this week, I just figured with all, look, we talk about COVID nonstop. I can't, you know, you can't get away from it. So I'm just going to jump on that train, and we're going to talk about the bubonic plague tonight.
Okay. This seems like a Josh topic.
It does. As I was researching it, I was thinking to myself, Josh should probably do this. Okay. Number one, he would probably do it better. Number two, because he enjoys it.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, you're welcome. So anyway, bubonic plague, aka the Black Death.
Oh, that's a savage name.
Yeah, it was not good. Okay. So this is pertinent right now, number one, because we're dealing with a pandemic. And number two, because a squirrel in Colorado, according to USA Today, has tested positive for the bubonic plague.
No.
I feel like one of these animals comes up every few years with the plague.
Okay, so that is true. That's pretty much how it spread back in the day. I think it was
rats.
I think it was rats, yeah. So,
which squirrels are just tree rats?
They're basically rats.
I heard exactly. A rumor. Sorry to hijack
no,
the topic.
Keep going.
On Joe Rogan, he had some pandemic expert on. He was saying that at first they thought cats might have been transmitting the plague.
They do.
And so they killed all the cats.
Oh, yeah. I heard the same thing.
And then they were like,
there was nothing to kill the rats.
Oh, whoops. It's rats.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah. All right, no knee-jerk reactions. So let's talk about the bad news first, okay? The plague was the cause of the Black Death that swept through Asia, Europe, and Africa in the 14th century and killed an estimated 50 million people, possibly up to 200 million people. I'm just guessing. I don't know if they didn't know how to count back then, but
they don't know.
Long time ago, and a lot of people died. That was approximately anywhere between 25% and 60% of the European population was killed by the bubonic plague.
Say that statistic again.
Which one? This according to Wikipedia. Between 25% and 60% of the European population.
Okay, that's a real problem.
Yeah, that's a
so we're going to call it half. We're going to call it
half. Let's just say half of the European population died from this pandemic of the bubonic plague. It was the deadliest pandemic in recorded human history. Like I said, possibly up to 200 million people were killed. So there's three forms of it, of this infectious disease that's caused by a bacteria. I'm not going to say the name of the bacteria because I'll butcher it. But it's basically a bacteria that caused the bubonic plague. And it was usually transmitted through after an infected flea bite. right? So so fleas were biting, I think, the rats, and then the rat. Anyway,
that's probably why the cats got offed.
Yeah.
Because they know cats had fleas.
So can you imagine living back then and like this thing is just sweeping across countries and they're, you know, they didn't have modern medicine. They didn't have antibiotics to fight any of this stuff. You didn't know what was going on. I can't even imagine. Prevention. So this is the good news. The prevention of the bubonic plague is accomplished through public health measures such as not handling dead animals in areas where the plague is common. So that's key. Don't eat the rats.
Yeah.
That's a way to not spread it. And also vaccines were invented and were very useful in prevention of the plague. It's still around today. Like people still get it. Mortality rate. Let's talk about that. 10%, I guess, chance of death with treatment. Without treatment, I don't know where these percentages come from. Anywhere from 30 to a 90% chance of death if it's left untreated. And apparently, you got to catch it early.
Why even have that stat? 30?
Yeah, it's probably like COVID. 18-year-olds are not going to die from it, and 90-year-olds will almost always die from it.
Right. So,
you got to break it down into age bracket.
Yeah, the symptoms range from nothing to death. Right. It's just kind of crazy. But kind of a second part to this story is, according to a CNN article, a 15-year-old boy has died from the bubonic plague, obviously, very sadly, in Western Mongolia, according to government officials. So he caught the plague after hunting and eating marmot. Is that how you say that?
Marmot.
Marmot. And he died this past Sunday. So marmots are large ground squirrels, a type of rodent that have historically been linked to plague outbreaks in the region. So people are still dealing with this. I mean, people die from it, and it's still going on today.
Steer clear of the rodents.
Yeah. All right, so don't eat rats. Keep maybe some, antibiotics close by with the bubonic plague cropping up again.
I can't imagine half of the people just dropping dead.
Yeah. It's insane, isn't it?
Yeah, we are very blessed with the modern technologies and medicines and antibiotics and all of that we have available, even like hand sanitizer and soap.
Which you don't subscribe to, but it is a good thing to have around.
When people are dying.
Okay. So you will use it during the pandemic. You'll hand sanitize?
Yeah.
Yeah, I keep it around.
More than I did before, which was zero.
It's not a bad thing to partake in every once in a while these days.
Okay. All right, Dave. Thanks for schooling us a little bit on the bubonic plague.
You're welcome. That was interesting.
I didn't know those numbers. Actually, I knew it was a lot, but I didn't know it was that much.
Even if it's like 25%, that's pretty devastating.
Yeah, it is. Okay, guys, that's going to do it for this week's show. Remember to tune in next week or the week following for Nashville Early Bronco. We're going to do the big Bronco release show. So we're looking forward to that. Stay tuned. Check out our Facebook group and be kind. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We will catch you guys next time. We'll